Great to be with you again, as always. Turn, if you will, to the Paul's letter to the Galatians and chapter 5. I must say that I don't know who did these flower things, but whoever did them is very talented. I like beautiful stuff. And I do have one complaint, however. And I think we all owe the pianist an apology, because I'm going to ask her a question. Do the congregation sing according to the timing of the music? That'd be a no. And if you ask her what we're talking about, she'll tell you later on. I always find it funny. You're reading the music, you get into a place and you're reading the music, and all of a sudden the congregation slows down, and the poor pianist has to slow down as well, even though there's absolutely no note in the music that says slow down. So here, that's my complaint. No, seriously, though, it is really, really good to be with you, and always enjoy coming to London. No bad drive. Quite a bit of traffic this morning, but it's not too bad. I was just thinking that we are in a very interesting time of life, and we are in vicious spiritual warfare. The enemy of souls is very, very active, as he's always been active, but it seems like we're noticing it quite a bit more these days. And I've had few experiences lately that drew me to this particular passage. I was getting my computer fixed, or replaced, should I say, because it kind of blew up, the other one. And the guy who was fixing it is a Christian. And I just happened to have the notes that I'd started on this here, the title. And the title was, Walk in the Spirit, Not in the Flesh. And that's what I'm going to speak on this morning, Walk in the Spirit and Not in the Flesh. And this man, lovely guy, I mean, he's a Christian believer, he points to it and he said, that's impossible in this day and age. You can't do that. It's impossible to walk in the Spirit. So I gave him a little Bible study for a second or two. But it was very interesting that he said that. And then another situation that I've been confronted with recently is I have an acquaintance who has relatives in the States, and those relatives are complete rednecks. They are way overboard, guns and the whole bit. And this particular believer is a hater of Donald Trump, hates Trump and everything to do with him. Now, personally, I can certainly agree with some disgust and some of the things that Donald Trump has done. However, he's a human being, if he doesn't have Christ, he's going to go to a Christless eternity. And so he and all other people in that, we need to be praying for them, not living in hate. And this is what kind of spurred me with this particular verse here, because it says, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And we'll be looking at that in a moment or two. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview of this chapter here. But what we need to understand is that we can walk in the Spirit, and we should walk in the Spirit. We can't say, no, that's impossible. You can't do that. Yes, you can. Absolutely. Because every believer here, every person here who has trusted the Lord as their own personal Savior, is indwelt by the Spirit of God from the very second that you got saved. Okay? There's no question about that. And the question is not whether you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, but are you walking in the Spirit? And I'll tell you, folks, in this wicked age, and many of the things that Brother Les described there, some of the trials and some of the evil there, I'll tell you what, we only have one hope, and that is to walk with the Lord. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. And we have to ask ourselves, am I walking with the Lord? So I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview. Les told me I could go to 4:15. So I said, two or one, or one or 12. He didn't seem to know, so I'll just take it that I've got some freedom here this morning. But let's just look at this letter here. Paul's overview of the letter, as it were, he wrote the letter for a purpose. Paul was ministering in the region of Galatia. There's not a city called Galatia, it's just a region. And Paul, in the verse 1:11 until 2:21, he shows that he was an apostle and he was appointed by God, and he was not under the 12 apostles, as it were. And that was an important point at this particular stage. And then in chapter 3 and 4, he defends the doctrine of justification by faith alone, as opposed to those who were insisting that keeping the law should be adopted as some of the requirements. And what had happened was there were men who came from Jerusalem after, I think, about 14 years, and they had insisted that to be saved, and as a believer, you needed to keep the law, keep the Old Testament law. Now, they'd come up with some 613 laws that these were supposed to keep, and of course, they had passed that time. The law was ended before the Galatians ever even heard the gospel. The law was ended before the gospel was ever taught over here or wherever we heard it. Christ had fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. And so here come these men, and after these believers had been having a great time walking with the Lord, learning about the Lord, etc., 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 here come these men, and they say, no, we know better, we were there, and you need to keep these laws. And of course, he mentions one particular rite here that we'll look at in a moment or two, and they were about to be doing that. They didn't, but they were about to be doing that, and Paul corrects them. And so in chapter 5, verse through 6:10, Paul gives practical teaching, an exhortation designed to correct some of the havoc caused by the legalistic teaching. Now, what Paul really wanted, and what we should want, but what Paul really wanted, we're seen in chapter 4, verse 19, which says this, that his desire was that Christ would be formed in you. Christ would be formed in you. And the Greek word for form there is thromorphou, which refers to the act of giving outward expression to one's inner nature. I'm going to say that again. What Paul's desire was in chapter 4, verse 19, was that Christ would be formed in us. And the meaning of the Greek word there is that it refers to the giving outward expression to the inward nature. In other words, something showing outwardly that's from within. And of course, what that is the very life of Christ. Now, you want some encouragement. I'll tell you, the best encouragement that I can give you is to know that your life can and should manifest the very life of Christ. People say, want to be like Jesus and do what Jesus did. Yeah, well, that wouldn't work because we'd fail pretty quickly. But when we die to self and when we allow his life to be seen in and through us, that's where rest is and that's where victory is. And Paul learned that lesson, and he said it was the Lord that taught him, actually, because that's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And he said, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's the point. So every one of us here, we can say, well, I'm not Paul, I'm not this, I'm not the other. Listen, tell you what, here's the thing. The moment you got saved, you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And from that on, his desire was that Christ would be formed in you, and his life would be manifest in and through you. And of course, this is what the Galatians were enjoying. They were learning. They were understanding that until someone came along and began to teach another gospel, which Paul said, if you do that, you should be accursed. And that's another interesting word. But I've had these two experiences recently is one believer who says it's impossible to walk in the Spirit when you're in the flesh. That's impossible. And he said, this is a lovely guy, just untaught. And listen, folks, there are so many believers that are untaught. And the reason we're untaught is because we don't spend time in the Word and prayer. I saw an interview with R.T. Kenyon, an old believer and teacher, well-known, respected teacher, the other day. And this evangelist asked him, he said, what would you tell a young R.T. Kenyon now? In other words, if you were to go to Les or Brad and say, okay, you're this age, what would you tell a young believer? And it was a staggering what he said. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I wouldn't tell him to go to seminary. And you think, well, that's shocking because this guy has all kinds of degrees. He said, what I would say is spend time in the Word and prayer. Spend time in the Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. And every single one of us believers has the privilege and the opportunity to spend time in the Word of God. And Satan hates that. But every single one of us needs to spend time in the Word of God every day and pray. And by the way, prayer is kind of made a strange thing. Prayer is simply talking to God. That's what it is. Telling God. Every morning I get up, having learned somewhat over the years of the hopelessness of my condition, and I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, whatever. Now, that doesn't sound very spiritual to you, but I say, Lord, whatever. Lord, live your life through me. Whatever you want, whatever happens. And it's fascinating to see the opportunities that the Lord brings during that time. And he can and he will. And my great burden is for believers, ordinary believers like you and I, who so often are put in a position where we think that, well, we're kind of lower class, and this walking with the Lord and living spiritually is for those people up here. Well, I've got news for you. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you'll find out there are no people up there, because the Lord says you're all on the same level. Like water finds its own level. There are no uppers. You know, I can say to you, well, I've been serving the Lord over 50 years full time and got saved when I was in 1957 or some ancient time, etc., etc. And I this and I that and I the other. And I can go through a list of things that by the Lord's grace seem to have done. And guess what? The Lord will say, what? So what? All you've done is what you should have done. What you're responsible for. We're all exactly on the same level. There is no difference between me and my life and a believer who's the first day. No difference whatsoever. Both indwelt by the Spirit. Both have the privilege of walking in the Spirit. There are no uppers, folks. Every one of us are on the same level, and every one of us have the privilege of walking in the Spirit. So the encouragement here that we are saved by grace through faith, not by keeping the law. Now, we have just lost a great man of God, John MacArthur. And there's no question about it. He has said and done some very, very good things. One of the best books I ever read was by him, which was called Christ Our Sufficiency. But John and R.C. Sproul and some of those people got into Calvinism. And one thing I'm delighted about is that John MacArthur is no longer a Calvinist. He's found out. Anyway, never mind. Those who want to fight with me after, you can do. But love the brother, but we are saved by grace through faith, not by keeping the laws. And so we get to this verse here, and I'm going to read a few verses to you and stop along the way. Maybe a different way of doing things, but you put up with me for years, so you can do it a little bit longer. Let me get the right chapter to start off with. Chapter 5, verse 1. Paul had explained the whole principle of walking by faith, justified by faith alone, not by works of law and all of those kind of things. And there's four chapters that you can study out to find the basis of that. And so he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, what we need to do is we need to stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has made us free. Well, what has he made us free from? He's made us free from the flesh. He's made us free from the law. He's taken away all the bondage. You see, we still live in the flesh, but we don't need to live under the power of the flesh. We don't need to do that. So Paul says, look, in view of everything that I've said, stand fast, therefore, in view of what I've said, you need to stand forth in the liberty with which Christ has made you free. Now listen, I'm going to encourage you folks. The reason that assemblies have elders is because the elders, as in the case here, it is in the case here, are men who can help you with these things. And so if you have questions about these after, you can go to them and say, well, I don't like that guy Ray, and I don't like what he said either. You can go to them, and they will kick you out of the assembly for saying that. But no, they will help you to understand this, because we need to understand. I need to understand that I'm free from the law. I don't have to keep 613 laws. Oh, there's the morality, and there's the morality of the law that never changes. There's that. That's another subject. But I'm free from that, and so we need to stand fast in the liberty. So he goes on here, and he spends some time talking about the principle of faith. He says this, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if I'm circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now you say, well, why would he bring up just that one aspect of the law? That was a rite that they practiced and said that they needed to be doing. Now, they hadn't done it yet, because you can tell by Paul's wording there that it hadn't happened yet. But he's saying that, listen, if you practice that, if you do practice that, and they hadn't, if you do, he said, Christ has become, listen to me, Christ has become of no effect to you. Now, I'm going to tell you this, folks. There's too many believers out there where Christ has become of no effect to us. The life of Christ within us has having no effect. We're not witnessing. We don't talk to people about the Lord. We're not being a blessing. We're not serving the Lord. Why? Because Christ has become no effect. We've become entangled in some kind of a bondage or some kind of a legalism or some kind of a lifestyle. And only the Spirit of God can pour that out to you, point that out to you. That he's come to that stage where Christ has become no effect. And I plead with you, urge you, to get on your knees before God. And has Christ's life become of no effect? Can I say, looking back at the last week, the last days, can I say that Christ, the life of Christ, has had an effect in and through my life? Can I say that? You see, I can't say that, because I tell you what, I know it has. But why has it? Because I'm something special? Absolutely not. But because what it takes is dying to self. We have been crucified with Christ, dying to self and allowing his life to be seen in and through us. See, the thing is, folks, it's awesome when you do that. The Lord just, he brings opportunities. I went downtown, my daughter feeds 80 or 90 down and out people on a Saturday lunchtime. And I sometimes go down there just to encourage the situation a bit. And I've made friends with a man down there, a very smart man, intellectually, very, very smart. But I witnessed to him many, many times. And I went down there last week, and my two daughters were there, and they were concerned for him. They said he was wobbly, and they thought he might fall over, so they were going to take him home. So I said, well, I'll take you home. I'll take him home. So I took him home. He lives in a motel downtown. And he wanted to drop some stuff off. And then the Lord just brought to mind, this is how it goes. You leave it to the Lord, he'll do it. Well, why don't you take him for a ride to the park? So I took him for a ride to the park. It was awesome. We sat at the park for a long time, and we talked about spiritual things. And he talked to me, and I've talked to him many, many times. A very, very brilliant intellectual man. Why is he in that condition? I don't know. But when we let the Lord take over, when we allow the Lord to do things, you're going to meet people. things are just going to happen that puts you in a position where you can be a blessing to people. And it's not because of how brilliant you are. It's because of how brilliant he is, what he can do in and through us. And so he makes this comment, has Christ become of no effect to you? And then he says this astounding thing, and I'm going to ask you a question now. He makes this astounding comment. He said, for I testify to you, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. So if you do one, you're responsible to do the whole lot. He said, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect to you, whoever you are, justified by the law. If you're justified by the law, if you're living under the law, guess what? He says, you have fallen from grace. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is it possible for a believer to fall from grace? Hands up. Is it possible for a believer to fall from grace? Hands up. Hands up, hands up. Les, I was hoping you'd bail me out here. Listen, yes, it is. It absolutely is. How is it? Because we are saved by grace through faith. And he's talking to the believers here who had for 14 years been walking in the Spirit, knowing all the joys of living in that way. And he said, whoever you are, who are under the law and who are justified by the law, he says, you've fallen from grace. Well, if you've fallen from something, where were you? You were living under grace, and you've fallen from that. Now you're living under the law. And what you've done, see, he's not talking about losing your salvation. Nothing to do with that. It isn't to do with that at all. It's to do with the fact that as a believer, you lived walking in the Spirit with the liberty and the freedom that Paul says stand firm in. And now you've decided to keep the laws. And they were even on the verge of going through rites like circumcision and those kind of things. Absolutely incredible. And Paul was furious. He was not happy at all. And that's how you get that's why Paul's letter is a lot different from some of the others. He just launches straight in. Anybody who's bringing another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be put under shadow. Let him be put aside. Because the thing is, For those of us who are saved by grace through faith, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and now you're saying, no, you've got to go back to keeping the law, which you were never under anyway, is absolute blasphemy. It's wrong. It's another gospel. It is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this in verse 7. He said, you did run well. You did run well. Well, what happened? And I'm going to ask you another question here. What is it that has stopped you from enjoying the Lord and walking in the Spirit? What happened? Why are these seats empty? Now, some people are justifiably away for whatever reason. Some are not. What happened? What happens to stop you and I from walking with the Lord? I'll tell you what happened. You're walking in the flesh. You're doing what the flesh wants. And this is what burdened me about this believer who hates Donald Trump. And he has a brother-in-law who's on his last days, and he has to go down there. And he says he hates Trump. He hates the country. He hates Americans. He hates this. He hates that. And I tell you, it really struck me. Walk in the Spirit. Listen to what the actual verse says in verse 16. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what does that mean? You know what? Sometimes we get ourselves in a situation, a difficult situation. We get angry with someone, and we're just angry with them. And all the time we're angry, all the time we're mad, we're determined to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're determined to satisfy the flesh. I'm angry with you, and I'm going to stay angry with you. and you make me mad, you make me sick, you make me wild, I'm going to stay that way. And all the whilst I can keep doing that, I keep satisfying the flesh. Sadly, because the flesh loves that kind of stuff. And Paul says no. To this believer who I've talked to a number of times, and I've talked to them about changing their attitudes, I said, you know, this is what you need to do. But, you know, you've got to stop. You've got to, in this situation, you have to stop the hatred, realize that Donald Trump he's doing what he thinks is right. Some of the things we may question and not even get into that. But I tell you what, whatever, bottom line is, he's someone who is, if he's not saved, he's going to a Christless eternity. And we need to pray for all of the leaders. If you're a strong liberal in this country, you need to pray. Probably pray more. If you're, if you're a conservative, whoever, you need to pray for these men. Not be getting right attitudes and feeding that. We need to pray for this country. All the things we need to pray for. Putin, you pray for Putin? He needs to be saved. That's what he needs to be. And all the others, and you say, well, you've gone liberal. Well, maybe, but no. Bottom line is we need to pray. But the thing is, as far as these things are concerned here, is that we absolutely need to walk in the Spirit. And then we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. See, it's like when you're driving down a road and someone cuts you off. And immediately you get road rage and you want to go cut them off. You know, yeah. Yep. Guess what? Do you know how you fulfill the lusts of the flesh? You do it. You go after them. You know how you walk in the Spirit? You say, Lord, help me with this. Leave it. It's the same when you as husbands and wife are together and all the deals, every single situation that we as believers face. This believer told me, he said it's not possible. Well, I'm telling you that it is possible. It's possible in every situation to say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you. I need your help. I need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I need to do. And that makes a whole world of difference. He says in verse 13 here, he says, you've been called to a life of freedom. And I was going to say, who hindered you? And he goes on to say, it wasn't the Lord. Just want to make that point now. Sorry, I missed that point. It wasn't the Lord. I tell you what, if you've been hindered, it wasn't the Lord who hindered you. And you have to choose to go back and make another choice. So we've been called to a life of freedom, free to walk in the Spirit, free to love one another, and free not to use our liberty to satisfy the flesh. Yes, we are free, but we don't use it to satisfy the flesh. But he says, but by love serve one another. And the law is found fulfilled in this one verse. Here's the bottom line. And it takes some thinking about that we should love one another just like we love ourselves. You ever think about that? We naturally do everything we can for ourselves, to perfect ourselves, to look after ourselves. We do that. We do that naturally. Well, I'll tell you what is natural when you walk in the Spirit is to love one another as we love ourselves. And it's interesting because he goes on, he says, the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says this, but. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed one of another. You know what? There's an Irish farmer, and I love the Irish, even though I tease them to death. They are a great race of people. Any Irish here? Just behave yourself, okay? When they were going to the moon, the Irish decided they're going to go to the sun. And people said, you can't do that, you'll get burned up. They said, it's okay, we're going at night. You've got to admit that's good, brother. But I love the Irish, got some great Irish friends. This one farmer, he was having a problem with rats. And farms and rats and that, you know, it can be a horrible situation, mice by the thousand. So one day he caught a bunch of rats and he put them in the bottom of a bin And all he gave them was water. All he gave them was water. And eventually their thirst was quenched, of course, but they became so hungry that they began to devour one another. And when it got down to one rat, you know what he did? Set it free. And off it went. But by that time, it had started devouring rats. And that's the way he cured his rat problem. It's interesting. And I thought, what a tremendous example that is. This verse here. If you bite and devour, if you keep attacking one another, husbands, wives, fellow people in the assembly, you keep attacking one another, guess what? Be careful, because you might destroy the whole work eventually. And it's happened many times in the past. So he says this. This then I say, or therefore, or whatever word you want to use, this then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And it's a very simple message. It's a very simple question. How do I live my life? Every day, every single day, there's something with us. There's some situation happens that gives us an opportunity to walk in the flesh. Every day, there's always something comes up. But I'll tell you what, for the believer, it's not impossible to walk in the Spirit. It is possible to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. And if you wanted to finish the chapter off, I'm not going to take the time to go because time's gone or nearly gone here. If you want to look at the rest of the chapter, he describes the Spirit and he describes the flesh. So, he simply says this. Okay, this is what the flesh looks like in verse 19. He says the works of the flesh are manifest, or they're revealed, or you can see them. You sure can. You can see them all over. And he said they're these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and all that kind of stuff. Of which I tell you before, as I've told you in past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, we've all been guilty of some of those things. Yes, but the Greek word there is this, it means this. The Greek word there, and I want you to understand this. The Greek word there has to do with practicing these things. If there's been no change in your life from the day that you said that you trusted Christ, you never trusted Christ. Because I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer, and the Holy Spirit will make a change in your life. It may be slow and it may not be as pronounced as it is with some, but there will be a difference. There'll be a different desire. You'll want to be with the Lord's people. There'll be things you don't want to do, and so forth and so on. But it's an absolute fact. And he then goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit, that which is manifest in the life of a believer. And he goes on and gives a list here. Now listen, this is not something that we put on. We don't walk around kind of like we know this kind of business. We act normally. We allow the life of Christ to be seen in our mortal flesh, whoever we are. I've seen believers who copy who they think to be a spiritual believer. And the spiritual believer might have been a spiritual believer, but they think the way to do is to talk like him and act like him. And it doesn't work because it's just hard work. No, you are who you are. You've got a personality. You meet and identify with other people. But the life of Christ can and should and ought to be seen in and through you, whoever you are. Whatever country, whatever culture, whatever nation, whatever it is, he wants to live his life, because what he wants to do is reach the whole world, not just those of a particular religious culture, as it were. So he says this, the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You have crucified the flesh, but we still live in this flesh. And until we leave this whole earthly body, we'll still have it. And by the way, God never cooperates with the flesh. Just make sure you understand that. And he says this, and this is a tremendous ending, as it were. So, bottom line is this. If we live in the Spirit, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you saved? Have you ever trusted Christ as your own personal Savior? If you have, you live in the Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if any man doesn't have the Spirit of God, it doesn't belong to him. And it's true, he doesn't. But if you are saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Don't care who you are. Don't care what level of education you have. I don't care what kind of job you have, what nationality you are. I don't care any of that kind of stuff. The question is, if we live in the Spirit, are you saved? Have you recognized that you're a sinner, bound for a Christless eternity? And you're saved by grace through faith. If you are, here's the exhortation. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. So here's what you don't do. You don't say, right, I'm going to do that. From now on, got it, mate. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. It's all good. No. Because the minute you say that, you're on shaky ground. But I tell you what, if we just say, Lord, you're right. You're absolutely right. But Lord, I can't even walk with you without you doing it for me or help me. It's got to be all in his power. And here's the great thing. Is the wonderful thing is this. In Revelation chapter 4, it talks about they cast their crowns at his feet. And I love that verse because you know what it says? We finally get to heaven and we finally understand it all. We realize it all. And you know what? We know this. That all and everything that was ever done of any spiritual value was done by Christ in and through us. So we cast our crowns at his feet. It's final recognition, Lord, it's all you. And you know, people talk about, do you love the Lord? Well, I don't think it's true to say that we get saved and we automatically love the Lord. I think we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we come to know him, the more we come to love him. And what a joy it is and a blessing it is to know that all and everything of any spiritual value is him doing in and through us. Therefore, let us walk in the Spirit and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a hymn I'd like to sing, not me personally, but Search Me, O God, Know My Heart. And I think it's 533. I know it's 533 because I wrote it on my hand. Then I'm going to ask Les to close in prayer. Let's stand and sing 533.
Fulfill your word and make me pure.
fire, where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify your name. Lord, take my life and make it holy. Self and pride, I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. O holy God, revival comes from you.
Thank you.